Kia ora, tēnā koutou, nō mai, haere mai. Hello everyone, welcome to the Walk in the Shadowlands podcast. Join me as we take a walk into the realms of the unexplained, of the paranormal, of things that go bump in the night and haunt your dreams.
Your host,
I'm Marianne. Thanks so much for joining me today, tonight, whatever time it is, wherever you live in this beautiful world of ours. Sit back and relax. Let me be your guide as we walk into the Shadowlands together and see what awaits us there. Welcome back to another eerie edition of the Walk in the Shadowlands podcast, where we all dive deep into the realms of the strange and supernatural. With Halloween just around the corner, I'm bringing you something truly spine-tingling, a special three-part series packed with ghostly encounters, terrifying tales of vampires, and otherworldly creatures that defy explanation. This episode is just the beginning of our Halloween countdown, with the final two episodes dropping on Halloween Eve to mark the occasion in both the Northern and Southern Hemispheres. Twice the thrill, twice the terror, because no matter where you are, strange creatures and dark forces don't respect borders. From ghosts to vampires to the strangest of beings, what you're about to hear will stay with you long after the episodes end. But for now, are you willing to walk with me into this part of the Shadowlands and see what awaits us there? If so, grab a blanket, dim the lights, and get ready to face the unknown. Let's begin. A special thank you to all the TikTok contributors for this and the following two episodes allowing me to share their stories. The Hotel Ghost from Sarah.Levine.
Okay, so I used to work at this place called The Cavalier, and it was built in 1926. They were doing renovations because it had really gone downhill over the years. And I was part of the opening employees because they were going to reopen, and they prettied it up and added new things, and it was just really nice. So my job was lead hostess at Becca, which is the restaurant inside of this hotel. Now this hotel has its fair share of its own ghost stories besides mine, and one of them being a ghost cat even that walks throughout the building. And then there's a bellman inside the elevator that warns you about the sixth floor. And there's also the ghost of Michael Kor, which was the founder of Coors Light, the beer. He's also apparently residing there. Not only that, people have said to see Marilyn Monroe there. I'm not sure if that part's true, but there's been a fair share of ghost stories within those halls. There's also a pool, and people have said to have been dragged in the pool when they're swimming. And unfortunately, there was a case years ago where a little girl had, and it connects with the cat. So she had brought a cat in, and she went looking for the cat, and unfortunately, she drowned in the pool there. And ever since then, people say that they feel tugging and pulling while they're swimming. And it's really creepy. As you know, some people go in the pool room and there's wet cat prints, even though there's no cat. So besides that, when we were opening, I'll get back to that. There was, all the furniture was being put in, all the new furniture in the lobby area. And I had come in one morning for work, and there's a lot of commotion going on. And I was asking, what's going on? And someone was telling me, they were like, well, last night someone rearranged all the furniture. And I was like, what do you mean rearranged all the furniture? And they're like, well, they didn't have the camera set up yet, except for in the front. And they didn't have a camera set up yet in the lobby. And all the furniture had been rearranged when they came in. And the last person out was last night. And he didn't rearrange the furniture. So, they're really confused as to why the furniture got rearranged. And when I say rearranged, I mean like these are big couches that were pushed and moved. They were all over the place. So now we're open, right? So we're open. There's lots of customers coming. People are renting rooms. It's great. So I'm in charge of taking reservations for this restaurant. And I have a spiel that I'm supposed to say when I answer the phone, thank you for calling Becca at the Cavalier. How can I help you? And I, get a call and I pick up the phone and it's really staticky on the line. And it's this woman on the other end of the line and she goes, "Hello? Hello, can you hear me?" And I said, "Yes, can you hear me?" And she says, "Yes." And she has this transatlantic accent. Okay, if you don't know what that is, think back in the old movies how they used to talk, okay? Very, very, but she sounded young, she didn't sound like an old lady. And she was asking me, is this the Cavalier?" I said, "Yes, this is the Cavalier. Are you looking to book a room or are you looking for Becca, the restaurant, because you've called the restaurant?" And she says, "Oh, well, I remember the Cavalier and it was so beautiful." And she just started going on and on about, I remember the days, and she was reminiscing. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, she sounds so young to be talking about the 1920s, 30s, 40s, she doesn't sound like an older woman reminiscing on something. She has this young voice. And she said, "Well, you find a reservation for me and you can call me back." And then I said, "Okay." And the phone kept getting staticky over and over again. So I said, "Okay, I will look, for you, because I'm pretty sure we were booked." So I was telling her I would just look just to see if there's anything available. And so I hang up the phone. I ended up finding a reservation. Cool. I was like, "Oh, that's so awesome. She's going to be so excited." So I go to, because you can press the button to call back the number you were just talking to. The number didn't exist. I call my manager. I said, "I just talked to this woman on the phone. My coworker was right next to me while I was talking to this woman on the phone. It's saying the phone number doesn't exist." To this day, we have no clue. No clue what happened. So I'm fully convinced I talked to a ghost on the phone.
The Basement That Never Was from Hannah Rose.
Okay, so right now I'm on New Orleans TikTok where they're talking about all the like haunted and like vampire stuff that's like happening to them. And I don't have like a lot of like stories like this, but I do have one of when I was an EMT and me and my 50-year-old Christian woman partner, who she does not believe in this stuff at all. We were taking this patient that was on a 5150 that was being extended. And so we took her to like a longer stay home, which I've never seen like a home like this in LA before. But it was basically like this wood house in Atwater Village. And the moment you pull up, it just looks like this wooden Victorian situation, like something you would see in a movie. Like if you've ever seen that movie Monster House as a kid, like that's what it looked like. And the vibes were just like not right as soon as you got out. But I was like, you know, whatever. We get out and this poor woman, she was just not doing well. She was, I don't think I'm allowed to tell you what was wrong with her. Anyways, we get out and she's like, please don't leave me here. Like I can see things and like she's like sobbing to me. She's like, please don't leave me here. But like, I have to, you know, like as much as I don't want to leave you here because it is fucking haunted, you can tell. What am I supposed to do? I'd be kidnapping you. Anyways, we get inside. We can barely get her freaking gurney in there. And we're taking her up to the room the whole time. She's just sobbing, this poor girl. And my partner just kind of attributed that to that obviously she didn't want to be in another mental health institution. But so we took her there. They did her vitals. They took her to the room and whatever. We were all done. We get in the elevator. And I'm like nervous laughing just thinking about it. We like condense our little gurney and we close the elevator and it says 3, 2, 1, and those are the only buttons. So we click one and we stop at one, the doors don't open, and then it just keeps going down. And I'm like, what the fuck? And the doors open, pitch black. It's pitch black. This is obviously the basement, right? It's pitch black and you can't really hear anything except like this growling, and not like that, but like growling of like a machine or something. And it's just like really eerie, and the vibes, the energy was just sucked out. Like it's like negative energy. I'm pushing the button and she's looking at me like, Hannah, please push the button. And I was like, I'm trying, like, and I'm pushing one, I'm pushing two, I'm pushing everything just so we could go up. And I'm not even shitting you when I say this. I say this with my whole heart. This is the scariest thing that's ever happened to me. We hear footsteps, slow footsteps, like a heeled man's shoe walking from the back of the room to the front of the room, but it's pitch black. You can't see anything. Slow footsteps. And she looks at me and I was like, and she's, we're both pushing buttons. We're pushing the emergency button. We're both pushing. We're trying to manually close it because something was wrong. They are about to like come in the elevator light. The footsteps are about to come in the elevator light, and finally it closes. We go back up to one, and she is like pooping her pants. I am like shaken to the core, and we look at the security guard and I'm like, there is something wrong with your elevator. It took us to the basement. He said, we don't have a basement here, ma'am. We get back in the ambulance. We just had to sit there. We couldn't even clean the gurney for a minute. Like, we had to sit there. And she said, what the fuck? This poor woman, she doesn't cuss. She's a good Christian woman. And we just never talked about it. Even talking about it is giving me like goosebumps because that, oh.
Conquistador from Caleb Cox.
Okay, so I actually have two ghost stories that are taking place like 15 years apart, but they're actually intertwined in a weird way. So I'll describe this. So the first and the more recent one was in 2012 and 13. Me, my dad, my brother, and my sister moved into a house in Seabrook, Texas, that's very close and near the water. So Seabrook is near Kima, which is along the Gulf Coast. Like the Kima Boardwalk is a worldwide tourist destination, and we're like 6 miles from the NASA Space Center. Anyway, so we, to sum it up shortly, we're actually starting to see the ghost of a conquistador in the house. And you wouldn't see like a full body apparition. What I personally would see is his head come through the corner of the ceiling, and it was like this horrific color of like a weird glowing orange. It was bizarre. And it didn't appear like, it wasn't like an everyday thing. It was very periodically, maybe once a month, every few weeks, you would see his head appear. Well, and he definitely was a conquistador. He had the helmet, he had like the beard and like the, curly whatever mustache thing. And he just would like look down and just look very angry at you. And there was this one time where my sister actually took a picture of me with her camera. She was like in eighth grade and got a brand new camera. And my head completely vanished in the picture. And my dog Panda, rest in peace, Panda. You knew the head was going to appear in my room because that's where usually where it would appear, because he would start to growl at the corner of the ceiling when it would happen. It wasn't like super terrible or crazy or weird. It's just it was bizarre. And there was this one time where me and my sister, my parents are divorced. Me and my sister were telling our mom about it, and she was sitting down in the living room. And where the couch was, the living room, so the kitchen was like this, and there was an L-shaped wall, and the living room was right here, and it was all open. It's like a big open L, basically. She's sitting at the corner of the couch right there, and right as we tell her about that, you start to hear a man inside the house whispering in Spanish, but it didn't sound like the Spanish that we're used to in Texas, like Mexican Spanish. It was sounded like old world Spanish, and it was very bizarre. It was weird. And like his voice almost like echoed too. It whispered and it echoed like it was carrying on. Like it was echoing in a canyon. It was crazy. So that didn't make sense to us, right? We didn't tell any friends really about it. My sister's friend came over one time and got trapped inside my bedroom. That freaked her out. The doors closed. There was nobody there. It was just her and my sister at the house, and the doors shut closed, and she couldn't get out. She was like freaking out. But so here's the thing. This is the crazy part. So I found out through research that the conquistadors shipwrecked all the way from here, the Sebra Quema area, to Galveston, Texas. And that's about 45 miles down. There was a fleet of them that came here in the 1500s, a fleet of 300 men, and only about 9 or 10 made it back alive to Spain, like almost a decade later. Most of them, from what I understand from the history that I read, most of them either died, they stayed with some of the Native American women and had children, or they were cannibalized by the, I think it's called Karankawa Indians. They're extinct, they're no longer around. They went extinct, I think, in the 1800s. So years later, when I discovered that, like 10 years later, a year or two ago, when I discovered that, it made so much sense. I was like, oh my God, they shipwrecked all the way from Seabrook to Galveston 500 something years ago. I was like, I bet you anything, there was a body of one of them underneath that house or near it somewhere on the property, probably deep in the ground, but there was a body there, or what's left of a body. So anyway, let me tell you the crazy thing, because I mentioned the Karankawa Indians. So in the early 90s, I mean late 90s, like the year 2000, we lived in this house in the same city in Seabrook, which was about 3 miles away from the house where I just talked about the conquistador ghost. When me and my older brother Sam were little, I was about 4 and 6. He was, and I was 4, he was 6. And then, we lived there for a couple of years. So, 5 and 7, you get the point, the 2 year difference. We used to see the ghost of a Native American in the closet, and we would call him the white man because, he was like as white as a fluorescent light bulb. Not so much white in terms of ethnicity. We just called him the white man and we were terrified of him. Well, I remember this one time I was about 4 years old or 5, and I fell out of the bunk bed. I was on the bottom bunk and I looked underneath the bed, and this is late at night, waking up in the middle of the night, and I see the face of a Native American man, but like where his eyes are, the eye socket, it's all completely black. So it's like all black, and then it's just black going down. But even though there was no eyes or anything, I could tell he was just looking at me, and it was just his head. And it's like the floor underneath the bed was like a black void that went on forever, like it went down. And his face was like glowing a weird color. And I just remember screaming bloody murder when that happened. And my dad came into the bedroom. He took me into the master bedroom to sleep with my mom in the bed. And then he slept in the bunk bed. Well, I asked my dad about that like 18 years later. And he said he remembered that night. He said he was scared. He said he just remembered keeping his eyes closed, but he could hear and feel that there was actually someone or something walking around the room. And he said he just kept his eyes closed the whole night and didn't, you know, didn't open them or anything. Well, how does that tie in with the conquistador story? I find out years later that in Seabrook, Texas, there's a trail called Independence Trail, which is along Highway 146. And a bunch of Karankawa Indians were massacred along that trail in the 1800s. So, right? Who expects to live anywhere in the United States and to have the ghost of a conquistador haunting your house? And then Native American ghosts, which ironically is kind of connected to the conquistador ghosts because they shipwrecked and some were cannibalized by them and others married and had women and all that stuff. But yeah, that's my crazy ghost story.
The Hat Man from Sarah.Levine.
I was debating on talking about this because I don't want to sound crazy, one, but two, I know I'm not the only person who's seen this, so I'm just going to go ahead and start. So when I was about 9 or 10, me and my mom were sitting at the kitchen table talking, and I had the view of the living room, and then I could also see into the entryway of the hallway that led to all the bedrooms. So we're talking, and I just so happened to glance over my mother's shoulder, and that's when I saw the Hat Man. If you don't know what the Hat Man is, just look up pictures, because you can't miss it. And at the time, I had never heard or seen anything like this, but I look over her shoulder, and that it was in the hallway entryway, peeking from around the corner, a tall, dark shadow. You cannot see through it, and it had a large brimmed hat on. I froze, and my mom immediately noticed that something was wrong, in, you know, with my face, and she goes, what is it? She turns around and she looks back at me and she's like, what is that? And so I immediately am like, oh my gosh, she sees it too. I'm not the only person seeing this thing. So now we both are looking at it, and it's just standing there. It won't move. It's not like one of those times where, oh, I just saw something at the corner of my eye. It was there, and it was staying there. And it stood there for, I swear, about 30 seconds it was there. And then it just slowly backed out of view into the hallway. As soon as that thing was gone, I jumped up out of my seat, and we, both me and my mother, go over there, and we open every single door in that hallway. And there's absolutely nobody. There's no one there. My dad was working at a late shift, and my sister was at our grandparents' house, sleeping over. We both saw it, and to this day, we both still talk about it. It stayed with me to this day. It's one thing that I cannot shake off, and I know I'm not the only one who's seen it.
The Doctor's Babysitter from Two Kids Mama Drama.
So when I was 4 years old, my mom was pregnant with my brother, and she would take me to the doctor's office for her appointments. I remember going at least 3 times, at least. And this woman would meet us in the lobby that she had hired, and she told me she was just going to watch me while, like, my mom was having her appointment. And I remember thinking, this is so weird. Why would this woman come in and watch me when my mom is literally sitting next to me watching me? And I couldn't stand this woman. And I have no other explanation other than she was a little heavy set with dark hair, which is like most people in America. So this woman was there every time that I'd go with my mom. And
maybe a few years ago, I don't remember how long ago, I asked my mom, like, who was that lady that you hired to come watch me while you were in, like, while we would go for your appointments for Shane? And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I never hired a lady to come watch you while you sat with, like, you sat with me. I was like, I know. But this lady was there every single time, and I could not stand her. And she looked at me like I was stupid. So I asked my dad, I'm like, did you remember, Mom, ever hiring this lady to come sit with me at the hospital while she had her appointments with the doctor? And he's like, no, never. So here I am at 37 years old, or 36, I don't even know, trying to figure out who this woman was when I was 4 that sat with me, and I have no idea.
The Parrot's Perch from Mona the Macaw.
I lived in a house that was almost 300 years old, so let's talk about it. All right, so fun fact about this house that I lived in. My husband lived in this house when we were just dating for about 2 years back in 2015 to 2017. And then we moved to San Diego because we wanted to see what San Diego would bring to our lives. And then we moved back to the East Coast in 2021. So we were living on the East Coast. And mind you, when my husband lived there the first time, whenever I would go and visit him, if I would get there before he got home from work or from running errands, I just hated being there alone. The house just gave me the heebie-jeebies. So that was in 2015 to 2017. My husband just refuses to acknowledge that this house could be haunted, so he lived there peacefully. I was in shambles at all times. Fast forward to 2021, we moved back to the East Coast. We are staying with family while we're just trying to get our bearings and get new jobs and just transition back into life on the East Coast. And my husband is saying, you know, man, I really wish that that house was available again. I loved living there. It was the best. It was a dream because it was a pretty big space and the rent was really affordable, but it was haunted, so I didn't care. But anyway, my husband really wanted to move back. I said, not happening. So he went out on a limb and asked our old friend and neighbor who had lived there the entire time. She was there for almost 10 years. He followed up and just said, hey, do you know if our old unit is available or will be available? And she said, no, unfortunately, the people have been living here, have been here for 2 years. They love it. I don't think they're going anywhere. Ironically enough, a few months later, and I think it was on Christmas Day, our old neighbor shoots at me a text and goes, hey, do you want to move back in? They're actually moving out. They're moving back down south. If you want it, I can, you know, put in a good word with the old landlord and just remind him that you guys were old tenants. It's looking pretty good for you guys to move back in. So we moved back. Yeah, we moved back. This time I felt a little bit better because we had Mona, my parrot, with us. So at least, you know, I had company, I had my BFF. So I didn't feel as scared, but I was still apprehensive, especially because even our neighbor was certain. Like, you know, she can verify that there was some weird stuff going on in this house. Just to preface, this house is a historic landmark. It was built in 1757 and a really famous blind poet lived there. I can't remember if she was born there. I know she didn't die there, but she was a blind hymn writer. Her name was Fanny Crosby. When you Google her, that's not who you want haunting your house, okay? Nothing personal, but good God, she was terrifying, okay? I'm just gonna say it, she was terrifying. Google at your own risk. She scares the hell out of me. And if she doesn't scare the hell out of you, must be nice. So I have plenty of stories of just my experience being there, but I'm just talking about one. Sorry it took me a while to get here, but I needed to give you all the backstory. So we're living in this house, weird stuff is happening. Every time it happens, my husband justifies it with something ridiculous. But there was one night in particular, and ironically, it was the night of Halloween going into November 1st, if anyone knows of Samhain, if anyone knows anything about the veil thinning on the night of Halloween, then you know that sometimes activity is heightened, if you believe in that. So I'm in bed, and the layout of the house was you had your master bedroom, then there was the living room and the kitchen, and so I'm in the bedroom. Our door is closed every night, because I just didn't like having that door open when I slept. I felt like people were watching me there. So, and the living room seemed to be the most active. So obviously I kept that door shut. Mona is in our bedroom with us because I'm not letting that poor bird be around ghosts by herself. So she slept in the bedroom with us in her cage because we needed her safe. And in the living room is her perch, her stand. And it was a really simple stand. Maybe if people are interested enough, I can show you what it looked like. But it was just a classic perch. And then it had this big hook, and on the hook you could hang a toy. So I would hang a toy, and it would usually have wooden bits, a chain, and then there's always a bell at the end because a lot of bird toys have bells on them. See where I'm going here? So I'm in the bedroom, doors closed, and something wakes me up in the middle of the night. And I'm laying in bed, I'm trying to go back to sleep, and then I hear a bell chime from the living room, from Mona's perch, because that's the only bell in that room. And I don't think anything of it. I just think it was just a weird coincidence. Sometimes, I mean, the house was really old. Honestly, the house should be condemned, but that's another story. The house was really old. It could have been so many different things. So I try not to think into it because I'm already heightened at all times. So I just try to go back to sleep. But then I heard it again. I heard the bell chime again. And I'm laying there. And I'm questioning that very seriously. Then I hear it again. And we're not talking about a little like doo-doo. We're talking about a bell chime, like ching, ching. Like take a little metal bell and whack it. And that bell is connected to things. So it's reverberating off the objects, whatever. The bell is ringing. And it's not a tiny bell. It's a bell designed for a 3-pound scarlet macaw or anything of a similar size. So it needs some force to hit it. So this bell is going off every 30 seconds. So finally, I'm like, okay, I'm officially terrified out of my mind. If it happens again, I'm waking up John because he's sound asleep. Just sweet dreams. Sure enough, the bell chimes again. And I shake John and I say, the bell is going off in the living room. And he's very tired. He's like, what are you talking about? And I was like, Mona's bell is ringing in the living room. And she's clearly in here with us sleeping. She's covered in her cage. It's not coming from here. It's coming from the living room. He's like, no, it's not. And the bell chimes. And when I tell you that this man shot out of bed, somehow had a flashlight already in hand and goes into the living room and he's looking around and he can't find anything. No evidence of what could be making the bell chime. Have no idea what was causing that. But he comes back in the room with the pole and the toy attached to the pole in his hand, and he puts it in the closet and he gets back into bed, and all he says is, that was weird, and goes to sleep. He just goes right back to sleep. Obviously, I didn't sleep well that night. And the next day when I tried to bring it back up to him, my man's tried to chalk it up to, well, sometimes we get mice in the house, so a mouse could have done that. Mice are this big and weigh next to nothing, and there is absolutely nothing they can do to create enough power and force to make that bell chime. So yeah, that was weird. I hated living there, especially ever since that. So we don't live there anymore. But yeah, that was really weird. Just bells chiming in the middle of the night.
Campfires in the Waitomo Caves from Keeks Travels.
The country where I got the most creeped out was in New Zealand. Now, I am telling you this story because if you so do happen to travel to New Zealand, there is this one specific tourist activity I think you should reconsider. When I was living in New Zealand, I had a list of things that I wanted to do before I left the country. And high on that list was to go and see the glowworms. Glowworms live inside of a deep, deep, dark cave. And when you look up, it looks like you're looking at like stars and constellations. It just looks really pretty. And I wanted to go and see them. So on a day that I was free from working, I actually drove to go and see the glowworms located in Kawakawa. That is the northern part of New Zealand. Now, this is the part of the story where you're probably going to look at me like, girl, why would you even participate in doing this? When I arrive to the caves, I pay for my ticket and realize that I am the only one there. It's just me and the girl at the ticket booth. And when I mean I am the only one there, there was literally no other cars in the parking lot. So I'm curious why there are no people around. So I actually asked the lady at the ticket booth, where are the people? Am I going to be the only one on this tour? And she explains because it's off season, it's not really popular to come to the caves this time of year. So you probably will see more people December, January timeframe coming to see the caves. And sure enough, no one else arrived. So when the tour started, it was literally just me and the tour guide. I was not allowed to take any videos or photos inside of the cave, so I have no videos or photo evidence from inside the cave. So when we're getting inside of the cave, I notice that there are these very long boardwalks that just go deeper and deeper and deeper inside the caves, and they have railings so that you don't fall or slip, but it wasn't like any steepness or anything like that, so it just felt really safe to walk through. But the further that we walked, it just got darker and darker and darker. And as we're walking deeper into the caves, the tour guide is leading with a flashlight and is talking about the history of the caves and the glowworms. So I would say we only got a quarter of the way into the caves until something extremely creepy happened to me. Keep in mind, we haven't even gone further enough to even see all of the glowworms in its full like brightness. So anyways, while the tour guide is talking, I start to smell something. And the smell was very distinct. It was like a fire was burning, like some sort of like campfire or something, like smoky smell. Like, I don't know how to describe it. It smelled like there was somebody like, you know, burning a fire. And so I told the tour guide, I was like, do you smell that? And she looked at me and she was like, no, like, what do you smell? Like, do you smell the limestone? Like, do you smell the water? I don't know. And I was like, no, it smells like there is a fire burning. Like, it smells like, you know, a campfire. And when I tell you guys, this tour guide's eyes looked really wide and she was like, kind of like looking at me like in a creeped out way. And so she replied with, that's kind of weird that you mentioned that. And I was like, why? Why was that weird? And she proceeds to tell me that a long, 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 long time ago, exactly where I was standing, there was a woman who used to live in these caves and she used to cook her food, like create fires and cook her food right where I was standing. When she was telling me that story, the way I got the absolute chills, and it wasn't just me getting the chills, but the tour guide was getting the chills. Like, can you imagine? We were looking at each other wide-eyed in the pitch black with just a flashlight in some deep-ass caves by ourselves. I didn't even want the lady to finish the story about this lady that lived inside the caves. I literally just told her, we're gonna have to cut this tour short. I think we need to go. And she was like, yeah, I think that we should leave too. And I felt bad for that lady because I think she was a little bit more creeped out that I said that in that moment than anything else. So anyways, we do leave the caves, obviously, safely because I'm here to tell this story, but she told me she has never heard anything like that before in her life and that she was extremely creeped out. I say all this to say, don't go into dark caves by yourself in foreign countries. You never know what you're going to experience.
My sister's mimic from Meg's underscored zone.
When I was younger, my family had Korean exchange students that lived in our house, and one of the students shared a room with me, so we had a bunk bed, and she took the bottom, and I took the top. And during this time, my dad had removed all of the doors to all the rooms in our basement because we were getting new carpet. And so I wanted a little bit more privacy. So for Christmas, my grandma gifted me some door beads, but they didn't come to the floor all the way. They were about a foot off of the floor. And my sister Callie would always come in and just steal my clothes, my makeup, whatever she wanted to use. And I was a pretty light sleeper. So she would slide under the door beads to come in the morning before school and to not wake me up. There was one particular night where my exchange student was visiting her uncle in another state for Thanksgiving. So I was alone in my room. It was nighttime. Everybody was in bed. And it was dark. And I heard my door beads. So I looked over and I see what looks like my sister, just like her silhouette. And she's got long, curly hair, and she was crawling on all fours with her hair, and her hair was like hanging in front of her face, and she was crawling on all fours, sliding under the door beads. And I could see the door beads like hitting against her back as she slid under. And once she got under, she like hurried to the end of my bed where the closet was at the foot of my bed. So I was thinking to myself, like, oh, I caught her in the act this time. I'm going to totally tell her that I knew she was stealing my clothes. So I snuck to the edge, to the end of the bunk bed. And I just like, wow, like tried to scare her. And when I looked over the end of my bed, there was nobody there. So I just started screaming, and then my sister ended up running down the hall, and she came in and turned on my light, and she's like, what? And I was just like, you have, and I just freaked out and told her what had happened. But that was one time that was super, super creepy.
My name is Michael from the original tour.
My husband and I were super young. I just turned 21. We lived in a small apartment, and we decided to rent out a house we found that we really liked. Again, we were really young. We were partying, smoking, and his best friend would stay with us from time to time and would sleep on the couch downstairs. And he was always known as like the jokester, and he would say stuff sometimes like, you have like a ghost in your house. And I didn't believe in that shit. I'm like, okay, yeah, we have a ghost in our house. That's funny. And that was it. Like, that was the end of it. So fast forward, a couple weeks later, he had moved out, got his own place, blah, blah, blah. We had since got married. We went on our honeymoon, came back. I was newly pregnant and I was having a hard time sleeping, which is normal in pregnancy, but I didn't want to disturb him while he was in bed. And I went downstairs to sleep on the couch, watch TV, meditate, get into a better headspace to try and fall asleep. That's when things got super weird. I was just about to fall asleep, like drifting into that in-between place. And I felt like somebody was looking at me. So I woke up and there was a man hovered over me. And I just look up at him and I think, like, this is what sleep paralysis is. Like, I've never experienced something like this. And I jump up and I run upstairs. And this being, very clearly a man, he did not follow me upstairs. I saw him at the bottom of the steps when I had got up there, and he would not go any farther. Now, during this time, I kept having a thought, Michael, Michael, Michael. And I didn't know where it came from. It was like a thought that kept being repeated in my head. Now, I have a brother named Michael, but like I've never had that thought on a loop constantly. So that was very strange. Fast forward to about 3 weeks later, we pick up my husband's little sister. She was probably like 12 at the time. And as soon as she got in the car, she goes, you have a ghost in your house and his name is Michael. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, confirmed everything. So at this point, I decided to seek help of a medium. I had a friend who recommended me to this lady. First off, she's like, absolutely. Like, you're seeing things because you're a medium. I'm like, no, I'm fucking not. Like, I don't even believe in ghosts. And now you're telling me I can communicate with them. She's like, you are more than strong enough to get him to cross over. Here's a prayer. Do this beforehand. Sit down. Talk to him. See if he'll go to heaven. I was like, what the fuck? Okay. So I waited till everyone was gone. I sat in my little recliner. I started meditating. I was already kind of on a spiritual path. I started meditating more, getting a better grip on who I was as a person. So it was just weird how it all happened. So I sat down and I did this thing with him, and he showed himself to me. He told me that he couldn't come upstairs because he lost his legs to diabetes. That was insane and confirmed what I thought. I saw he had a dog and a mom on the other side. Again, these are just visions that are coming into my brain. I've never done this before. So I told him, I said, you have a dog and your mom is on the other side and they really want to see you. So I saw him just walk into this like light, and there he went. About 3 days later, I had a dream. He came to me in a dream and he said, thank you for crossing him over. He didn't know he was dead when I told him, which was like interesting. He didn't even know he was dead. He just needed somebody to
confirm and to see him and validate him, which is just so crazy. This is where it kind of goes nuts. My husband and I, you know, we're pregnant. We need a bigger house at this point. We were walking around with our landlord to get our security deposit back, make sure there's no damages. Everything went great. And when we were done, I said, was there a man named Michael here? And he goes, yeah, he died from health complications. He was the last tenant here. Why? And I'm like, just wondered. That started my whole spiritual journey. I realized I've been seeing spirits since I was a kid, but chalked them up to imaginary friends. So yeah, that's my ghost story.
As we wrap up this unnerving episode, don't forget that I have even more surprises in store with Halloween approaching. Tune in for the final two episodes of this special series, releasing on the Halloween Eves in both the Northern and Southern Hemispheres. And as the podcast nears its close, I want to thank all of our guests, listeners and contributors for making this journey so memorable. But of course, we still have a few final chills waiting for you. Stay tuned for Halloween, where the real fright begins. Vampires, ghosts, and unknown creatures abound. Until then, this is Marianne bidding you farewell from the Shadowlands. Thanks for listening to this episode. Ka kite.